Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 256, episode 5 of the Daily Zeitgeist, the season finale, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, but you already knew that because you're rocking with the second best of the second rate podcast. It's Friday, September 30th, 2022, and September 30th is, of course, National Chewing Gum Day. National Hot Mulled Cider Day, National Love People Day, National Mud Pack Day, and Orange Shirt Day. Daniel, do any of those speak to you?
I'm curious, is love people like just a celebration of loving people, or are love people specific kind of people that I haven't heard of?
The day asks us to lift others up through the profound power of unconditional love. I can't find any problems with that.
I'm for that. Exactly.
But then you read the fine print and they're like, who is deserving of this? Well, obviously, followers of Christ, and those who are not will obviously have been. They are off to the refuse bin. That's what their destiny holds.
Read the fine print.
But yeah, love people day. Also, chew your gum too. Love your chewing gum. And I love an orange shirt. I really do.
Yeah, you can see, look, I got two. I see them right behind you. Look at that. You are laced up.
Ask me if I don't like an orange shirt. I love an orange shirt. Anyway. What does that mean?
About the Dutch national team.
Yeah, well, you know, the Dutch jersey comes with a full smoke session in LA, depending on what part of town you're in. Look, people remember that World Cup and Arjen Robben. But anyway, I digress. Who am I? Petey Pop Mother. Wait, no, that's a different song. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Hideo Noho, the Lord of Lankershim. I know that a lot of people have been hitting me with AKAs. I've been very busy. I will get to them. I saw some fantastic ones. So apologies for using my traditional moniker. But I'm thrilled to be joined by my guest co-host, who's been rocking with me off and on the last couple of days. Been someone I've been rocking with since I met. Wonderful producer, wonderful gamer, wonderful Twitch streamer, wonderful host. Please welcome my beloved Daniel Goodman.
What's up, what's up? It's DJ Daniel, a.k.a. Mr. Steal Your Aerial. Happy to be here in the building. Living in hot sauce heaven. And it's a wonderful, wonderful Friday morning. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
And happy to be here.
Hey, wait, why hot sauce heaven?
I just got a couple new bottles of hot sauce and I am loving them.
Don't hold out on me. What'd you get?
I certainly will not. So every new season of Hot Ones pretty much aligns with me finishing another bottle of hot sauce that I already have in my fridge.
Got you.
And let me tell you something. I've been the king of buying too many hot sauces and not finishing them. So now I have a new deal with myself and with my partner, Stephanie, that I won't buy any more hot sauce until I finish a bottle.
Oh, blood in, blood out.
I mean, got to be. Because otherwise, they just sit in there. They get smelly. They get... Anyway, so I just got a couple new ones.
They get smelly.
Well, I mean, like...
It's like all vinegar and preserved.
No, exactly. They get crusty. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to respect the rim. You got to respect the rim.
You got to be... Anyway, yeah. I got the Flyby Jing Sichuan Gold, which is basically just like, the spicy Sichuan oil that you get in that, like, crispy vinegar. It's so good. And the other one is Piri Piri sauce.
Oh, and Peri Peri. Okay.
But I thought it was Peri Peri.
Like,
Petey Petey.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I could run and get the ingredients, but so far they're different flavors, but really delicious. Very nice.
Okay.
Very nice flavors thus far.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Good heat.
Yeah.
Good heat. A 3 out of 10 and a 5 out of 10. So good heat, not too crazy.
Yeah. Though. Okay. I respect that. Love hot sauce. Mm. And I have one whole shelf and a half on my refrigerator door, all hot sauce.
I love it. What's your favorite hot sauce?
What are you talking about? Well, there's context to it.
Okay. Know?
I mean, you can't just go willy-nilly with the hot sauce.
Fair.
My favorite traditional American hot sauce is Crystal. That is Crystal.
What a sensational answer.
Crystal is number one regular hot sauce. I love Tabasco too, but I love Crystal. My grandparents always used Crystal hot sauce. I also had Tabasco, so I have a nostalgia, like brand loyalty with Crystal.
Sure.
My favorite thing to marinate hot wings in, by the way, if you just get a Ziploc bag and just empty a bottle of Crystal with the wings, let that sit for a couple hours, grill that. I'm telling you, that's a game over.
The way I was going to phrase that question was, what's your shooting hot sauce or your drinking hot sauce? The one that after you put something on it, you just take a little straight down.
Oh, yeah. Crystal. All day.
Crystal. 100%.
But then this isn't a hot seat. Daniel, we could start talking about old music.
We could talk about this all day.
20 years ago or hot sauces in our new show called Hot Number Ones, where we talk about just hot number one singles while eating hot sauce and reviewing them. Anyway, let's get to our guest because we have a fantastic guest today. Somebody who's come through the ranks of the Next Up program, so you know they're bringing the heat. TV and film critic, okay? This is what I love to have on when people, because I don't have enough time to watch good TV or films. I say, hey, what's something good? Please tell me. Please save me the time. You can also catch her new podcast. It's called On Call with KB. The science behind the scenes. Please welcome to the stage, KB! Welcome, KB.
Hello. Thank you for joining me. I was trying really hard not to say anything during this hot sauce conversation.
What you got? I saw your face go up because when I said Crystal,
I was really trying. You know, Crystal is all right. It's not bad.
Okay.
But you know, sometimes you need a little Franks, right? You know, sometimes Franks.
Okay.
Always need Tabasco. You know, I just think that extra pepper kick, something about it, you gotta have it.
You gotta have the four horsemen: Tabasco, Crystal, Cholula, Tapatio.
Damn.
That's like in LA, you gotta have those hot. You can't just have Tapatio or Cholula. I love all hot sauce.
You know what? I'm a Texan. So that Cholula, I can leave. I'm not gonna lie. Ooh, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It's not really for me. It's I have noticed though, it's very much like a California thing because like a lot of people in Texas don't buy Cholula. We like, what is this?
Right.
No.
I got Becca going off saying Valentino for life. Yeah, Valentino I love too. I use Valentino.
I'm not gonna lie.
I've never had Valentino.
It is fire.
The hot one.
Is Cholula adjacent? But let me tell you something. Without that, you know, wooden cap, that special modified wooden cap. You save a little money on the Valentino, and you get a huge bottle.
The bottle is ridiculous.
I'm telling you, it's huge.
Yeah.
And you just go
and
off.
It glugs. The little opening, watch the fuck out. Because if you're weak, you could douse your whole shit. Like, oh, no.
Shit.
I love it. Also,
talk about shooting hot sauce. Just
got to shout out Salsa Huichol, which is another Mexican hot sauce, which is fucking dope. You can find that locally. Anyway, this isn't about hot sauce. KB, I love that your podcast, you're talking about, so you had a medical background? How did you get to now podcasting and being like, let's talk about some of the medical things we've seen on television?
Yeah. So my background, my degrees are in biology and chemistry. And, you know, in graduate school, I had a focus on cancer immunotherapy.
Wow, okay.
And so I have been very, very interested in the sciences for a long time, and I wanted to help people, but I didn't want to treat patients. Didn't want that liability, to be quite honest. So I was like, how can I also work in healthcare, use these degrees, but not have to do that? So yeah, I've had a very long career in healthcare, doing process improvement work and working with a ton of national healthcare organizations on how to improve them from the inside out and make sure that patients are getting the absolute best care that they can, you know, in the current environment that we have, which is not perfect and not always ideal. No. I will say that.
Huge disparities for people.
All the time. So I moved to New York to take a job for a hospital that I shall not name. And I ended up just getting back into writing. When I was younger, I wrote a lot of things, a lot of short stories, had a very creative mind. And I've also just always been interested in the arts. I've always watched tons and tons of film and tons of TV shows. And so when I moved to New York, I said, hey, guess what? Let's do this thing called podcasting and writing and get more into TV and film criticism. And that was a long time ago. I mean, honestly, I haven't kept track of the years, but 8 years, 10 years, I don't know, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And from there, I had this idea, you know, I loved ER growing up. That was actually one of my favorite shows, still is, of all time. I think it was brilliant and done so well. And I said, man, I would really love to kind of merge my two careers, because working in both fields simultaneously is no small feat. It takes a lot of juggling schedule-wise. Yeah. For sure. And so I was like, hey, how can I merge this? Maybe I'll just do a show, because people are always asking, like, oh, you watch a lot of medical dramas. Like, is this true? Is this accurate? You know, where do they get this information?
Can I die from a soccer ball hitting me in the chest?
You know, it's wild. Yes. And I love to tell people, like, the human body is so exceptionally extraordinary, but it's also quite frail. So, like, the smallest thing can really take you out. Like, you're like, oh no. Like, you know, when you hear people, they like choke and then they die. You're like, I choke every day. Like, I can't believe that person died. Like, it's like the smallest thing. And then some of the most robust and crazy things can happen. So I was like, let's do it. And let's kick season one off with Grey's Anatomy.
Thank you so
because
much.
Because it is the longest running medical show currently on TV.
Yeah.
And they do have 19. Some exceptionally wild cases. Yeah, season 19 actually is about to premiere. So, you know.
And look, you know, I'm glad they named the show after me. I really appreciate that. You know,
only way to do it.
Originally, Meredith was supposed to be Miles Gray, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, they did their thing.
Right.
And then they could have got rid of all the convoluted, like, half-black sibling stuff. And they could have just had a Blackanese lead from the beginning. But, you know, that's... Shonda was on her own path, and I'm not going to get in the way of that, obviously. Shout out to the city of Seattle, though. KB, we are going to get to know you even better. But first, let's tell what our listeners and all of us are going to be talking about or hearing about. Just got to check back in with the right-wing freakouts. This time, it's about student loans, and John Fetterman is a crip. We talked a little bit about Newt Gingrich alluding to that. Now I'm understanding what exactly they're even talking about, and it's desperate. Then... going to talk about Coolio.
Yeah.
We usually talk about things on trends, but as I was looking at sort of all the tributes that were pouring in with about Coolio, I really realized that I massively underrated him. Mm. Not to say that I never thought his music was good, but where he stands, like in the sort of evolution of hip hop going into the mainstream, I think Coolio is had a massive contribution to that, and I completely forgot about it. So we are going to talk about that. And then, since we have somebody with a bit of TV and film expertise here, I want to talk about best second screen shows, movies, because a lot of people don't nearly, you know, we used to just watch TV, like sit down and your eyeballs were fixed. Now we do tons of other things. And it does feel like a genre of like kind of content you can consume, something you can have on while also getting some other shit done. So I'm curious to get some suggestions from the both of you and plenty more. But first, we got to ask our guest, KB, what is something from your search history that's revealing a little bit about who you are or what you're into right now?
Honestly, all of my search history revolves around the interviews that I'm doing. So I still do TV and film criticism. I still interview talent every single week. And so the last thing I searched actually was IMDb for a new TV series that is coming out on Amazon's Freebie. Which I'm not freebie. Yeah, it's like this. Yeah. I'm not entirely sure why all of the networks now have like these extra verticals, But yeah. Freevee is a vertical of Prime Video. It's kind of like how Onyx Collective is a vertical of Hulu, but it will stream on Amazon. So it's a show called High School. And so that's really, honestly, the last thing I Googled, because honestly, the series is fantastic. So I should start there.
Wait, what is it?
Okay.
It's a dramatic.
It's called High School. It's a drama. Yeah, it's a drama, but it's based on a true story about twins, Sarah and Tegan, and they are actually Canadian super group.
I was like, where is this going?
Wait, no matter which way you go, out of my mind.
Isn't that Tegan and Sarah?
Yes, out of my mind.
Yeah, okay.
You, yes.
I was walking with the ghost. I said, please.
I remember that. Okay, I was there. Wait, so I'm sorry. I completely hijacked you speaking about this. So Tegan and Sarah, go on.
Yeah, so it's actually based on their memoir. The book that they released called High School. This is the TV show about it. And so this is season one. It's premiering, I think, in a few weeks. It's definitely premiering in October, but it's actually exceptional. And so it's just about them, the relationship with their parents, them, you know, kind of getting into music and finding out that they're truly musically inclined. And then also their dating relationship. So both of them are lesbians. And so, you know, kind of how they start to navigate their sexuality in high school. And it is so, so good. So, yeah, that's actually what I searched. Yeah, I searched more information so I could be better prepared for those interviews. But actually my last search history.
I mean, yeah, shout out to the aughts goddesses of Tegan and Sarah. Because, I mean, I wasn't like a huge fan, but by osmosis, I liked enough music to be like, what's this? I know this. Mm-hmm. Let's go deeper. But wow, I didn't realize they had a show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. And honestly, I did not read the book prior to, but I am looking forward to picking it up. Like, the show is so good and it makes me want to read the book. So I'm definitely going to go out and buy it and read it next.
Hey, I love when a show makes me want to read the book. You know, that's why I said Passion of the Christ, really underrated. Got me reading the New Testament again. Thanks,
Mel. Thick book. Hard to get.
What's something you think is overrated?
Bananas.
Go on.
Bananas. Overrated.
Yes.
Go on.
Overrated. Bananas, avocados. That? I mean, like.
We're coming for everything.
I was like, land the plane. And I'm like, wait, hold on.
First off, bananas taste like pure mush. Like the texture, the consistency, the flavor. Okay. Like, also, what is that flavor? Also, shout out to Justin.
Banana.
Because also, what Justin, is that because flavor? I truly want to have an allergy to both. That actually would be my dream.
Wow.
I hate them just that much. Like, yeah. I'm like, please. What is a banana? Like, why would you do this to us? Why? And it takes over every single thing you eat it with. That is so gross. It has the nastiest flavor and it just takes it over. Like, I do not want banana in my smoothie. That is gross. Please leave it out.
Okay.
Don't need it. Now, avocado. And, you know, listen, you have to add things to make it taste better, which means what? It's bland. Like, if you're just eating an avocado,
it's malleable,
by itself,
right? Yeah.
It's like, okay.
I'm not just
I have to add a lot of things to it.
Yeah, right. I'm not eating it with a spoon out the thing. No, I'm definitely, it's part of I love avocados because to me, it's like butter. If butter was a vegetable, it would be avocado. Because you can add it and it takes on, I think the opposite of bananas, it can take on whatever it's working with. And it gives you a little bit of that creaminess. Bananas, it's funny, they're both, I'm sure, they must be like high in potassium because they both make my throat itch.
Very.
And bananas specifically really would always bother me as a kid because it would make my throat itch. And then I was one of those kids who didn't eat like avocados till they were like 16. And I was like, yo, what the fuck is this? And then
we all had our discovery moment.
Yeah, I came around to it. But yeah, but in a flavor, I don't mind it in a smoothie. Got to say strawberry banana.
Now listen.
That's a nailed on combo for me.
I cannot do banana in a smoothie. Like, would rather not survive. But the avocado.
Oh my God, I'd rather die so quickly.
I'm like, I cannot. But the avocado, absolutely. Like, if you put it in a smoothie, because I'm having a smoothie with like a multitude of other things, I'm using the avocado for creaminess. But realistically, the fact that I just have to add so many things to it to make it be good is like, y'all cannot be charging this high price for this thing that I still have to pay to add more stuff to it to make it taste good.
Okay,
I got a question.
Yes.
No, no,
no, no, no, no, go on, Daniel.
All right. My question revolves around the usage of banana. Mm-hmm. Are you anti? So it sounds like banana, it's the banana itself, the flavor of the banana, consistency of the banana. I get that. Are you anti banana bread?
Yes,
of course, Daniel.
Because the flavor is too strong.
She said that she's not fucking with the flavor. Yeah,
but there's a cakiness that comes into it.
Daniel,
okay,
stop.
Fine. Well, then
stop caping for banana bread to somebody who does. You know, she will not see the light, and she doesn't want to. And you got to recognize that. I tell you about that in our ministry all the time. You know, when we're trying to save people, you got
peanut butter nanner sandwich. Come on.
Nope, never.
Nah, I mean, I'll pass on it. I'm not asking for it. Okay, just so I get an idea of where you're at, what to you is the best fruit that you could eat?
Ooh, my favorite fruit is definitely pineapple. I like that it's, you know, sweetness. It's good. Mm-hmm. Mm. I like blueberries. I like strawberries. Okay. I am allergic to melon, so I can't have it.
I'm so sorry.
Have
you had a hami melon? H-A-M-I?
No.
Mm-mm. It looks like a gourd, like a squirrel. Yo, go get that at the store. It's like a melon, but it has like watermelon-y texture where it's like a little crunchy and like very like grit. Woo! I was ignorant and somebody gave it to me for the first time last week and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Looks like cantaloupe.
Yeah, but it's the texture. It's the texture. Okay, good to know because I love pineapple. And then just to really round out your food take, does pineapple belong on a pizza?
So you guys are not going to like this.
Okay.
But I'm not a huge fan of pizza. So
in general,
that's fine.
In general.
Go ahead.
All right.
But
uh-huh.
When I used to eat it more regularly before, I was like, yo, I could do without pizza for real.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind pineapple if it was with something savory. Like,
okay.
If it were like pineapple and pepperoni. So that would be like a little balance of the sweet and savory,
yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I disagree. I just think it has no place on pizza, but that's fine. And I like that you don't eat pizza, so we will keep it moving. I'm sorry, Daniel.
All I'm going to add is that I feel like the nice middle ground of the sweet savory conversation that pineapple evokes is the pastor taco. Are you a taco fan?
Yes. Love tacos.
I think
pastor tacos.
The pastor taco with a little piece of pineapple is that middle ground that I think everybody who's on either side of the pineapple conversation can come to and agree upon. But Miles is shaking his head no, and now I'm really curious.
I will put that shit on the side. I will eat the pineapple first, like in a mousse, or as like a cap to the end.
Not with the pork. Not about it.
I'm not, dude. I hate sometimes the sweet and savory, like fucking like when apples are in a salad. I'm like, get the fuck out of my fucking salad. The fuck are y'all doing in here?
Wow,
this is a fucking joke. Yeah, we all have our own specificities. No, you know, I choked out somebody who said they walked out of anger management, even though I hadn't even seen the film. So we're all we're all operating on different scales of what is reasonable and what is not.
Wow.
Lastly, KB, what is something you think is underrated?
Just gonna skirt right past that. Choke somebody out. Anyway,
people
what else?
Know. People listen. We spent too much time on this show of me talking about this kid I went to high school with who acted real cool. Like that was a cool. Like that made him cooler than everybody. That he walked out of anger management.
Okay,
go back to episode probably like 700,000 or whatever when I talked about it. But KB, we digress. What is something you think is underrated?
People who were raised well.
Okay.
Now what that means.
You know, there are some human beings that you are just like, it is so refreshing to know that you were raised well. Like, you're kind, you have emotional intelligence, you know, like, you mind your business where you should, you know, like, you're inclusive, you're still fun, but you know that your parents raised you well, their parents raised them well, rather. Mm-hmm. That's so underrated. Like, I find that, you know, human beings in this world, oftentimes we just don't give enough props to the people who were truly raised well and they're moving through life. And you're like, you're a kind human being. Ah, love to see it.
Damn. Like, yeah. They're like, they did all right with you, huh?
Yes. Yes. I mean, you know, parenting is literally like a guessing game. I feel like it just, you know, trying to figure it out with the soul that we have.
Right.
And, you know, I'm like, good job. Shout out to your parents.
What's the quality that you appreciate most when you throw somebody in the column of raised well? Like what's the most potent quality for you? Like, oh man, I love that.
I love politeness and human kindness. Like there sometimes I will meet a child
Great.
Like, I don't know, like through their parents or whatever, but like a child that is kind, I'm like, you're going to turn out to be raised well. Like, you're going to grow up to be a good one.
Or
like,
you are a sociopath and you're figuring it out. Look, see, I'm always on edge. I'm like, why is this kid smart? Or are they the fucking next fucking who knows what? But that's just my own trust issues, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like, no, you know, the little ones, they're like, okay.
Yeah.
But I would say, and, you know, I've had this conversation at length, a human being that is raised well, that you just know is raised well, and I have not met him, but I know he's raised well, Keanu Reeves. Like, he's probably one of those people that you're like, I know he's raised well. Like, you could just tell.
I feel that. Yeah. Like, well, I think there's two ways, right, to arrive there. You can be raised well, or you can see enough bullshit that you end up figuring it out. And you're like, I actually ended up like this because I saw so much shit. I figured it out pretty quickly that this was probably the way to actually exist rather than in the chaos I witnessed. So I definitely,
that's true.
The wisdom is either way. It's either coming from the parents or it's coming from your life. But I do like when you meet people that arrive there, I know what you mean. Like, you can feel it like, okay, you got a good, you got something good going on.
I think wisdom like that is deeply, deeply underrated. Being able to see something and learn from it. It's not simply my experience. It's my experience. It's I see something. You're like, actually, you know what? I think that's something that I could take on. And that's a trait that I need to practice more in my own daily life. And that kind of wisdom, very, very underrated. So yeah. I see that 100%.
Right. I think, yeah, just be somebody who pursues wisdom, right? Because so much of our lives, we go through a lot of shit. Yeah. It's easy to be like, I'm not thinking with that. I'm not thinking about that. I don't want to deal with that right now. And we push it away and try and like go on like automation mode and like let shit just simmer in the back. But really, you want to be able to confront those moments, feel the totality of what you're experiencing as a person. Because the more you sit with a thought like that, I was just, you know, I've had to grieve a lot of people over the last couple of years is... You know, like even when you think about like loss, right? And you're like, I don't want to fucking deal with this. It's just too heavy or whatever. But a lot of the pain you feel is because it's the love that you feel for that person and the love, exactly, you know, this person has had for you. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that, you know, is being able, rather than running away from that, is to try and sit and feel the grief and tell yourself it's going to be okay. But also remind yourself that it's the love that's there that you're really feeling. That's what you're running away from. And try and evolve your thinking around it. So rather than a topic you go, I don't want to think about it, it's too sad, you can think about it, be like, damn, I love that person and they love me. And that's what I get when I think about it.
I think it's also too just the fear that you won't have that again, right? Yeah. Like there's a little bit of that in the grieving process, just kind of being like, oh no, will I ever, you know, be able to love like this again in this capacity? So I do think you're right. We just have to kind of sit in it and also just remember the good times you did have. Like,
yeah. Of all your feelings, but, you know, because that's where the wisdom's at. The wisdom, people run away from opportunities to accept the wisdom, but that's part of it. But yes, I love that point. And if you're somebody who's walking around like a decent human being, shout the fuck out to
you.
Yes.
Less generational wealth, more generational mental health.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Ain't that the truth? Okay, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk some weird shit. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang?
I know I do.
Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. Let's check back in with some right-wing freakouts again, because, the GOP may have finally, they're struggling to find a way to get people to be outraged right now, especially when their whole platform is like, we're into forced birth and no safety for a human on Earth. You guys want to vote for us? And they're like, what the fuck? So people are now... the media, the right wing media is definitely trying to find new things to sort of focus on to try and make it look like, oh, my gosh, Joe Biden, just get him out. And there's plenty of reasons to want better for this country. But the reasons that Republicans are going after are just so fucking weak sauce, as we say in my generation. But first up, they may have finally found someone that can try to challenge Biden's student loan debt forgiveness program. Because the second Biden announced it, the clock basically started ticking for someone to emerge that had some kind of legal standing to say that I will be damaged by this plan that would help alleviate student debt. I am going to be hurt. That's why this can't go on. It's so unfair. And aside from just saying the thing of poor people don't deserve shit, they needed to find a legal argument, and they may have found someone. Enter this guy, who's a lawyer who's now suing. His name is Frank Garrison. This is from this write-up in the New Republic. It says, quote, this is what his legal argument is to say,
let's hear
stop
it.
Giving people student loan debt
let's
relief.
Hear it.
According to the complaint, Garrison took out a series of student loans and Pell Grants to pay for his college education. After completing law school, he began working at a public interest law firm like the one that he works at called the Pacific Legal Foundation. That qualified him for the Federal Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. In exchange for working in a, quote, public interest field for 10 years, qualified participants are able to get their monthly loan payments capped based on their income. The remaining portion of their loans is then forgiven at the end of the 10-year period. Great program. Fantastic. Great. You're doing something cool for the public interest? We'll hook it up.
Great.
But here's the thing. There's a catch. Biden's order, according to Garrison, will wipe away $20,000 worth of his student loan debt. He was on track to have all of it forgiven in just over 4 years from now. Garrison claimed that under Indiana tax law, the $20,000 reduction will be taxed as income and he will have to pay roughly $1,000 for it. He described it as a net loss for himself and for the potential plaintiffs in at least six other states where he said the tax codes are similarly structured. $1,000. You're a lawyer. And the journalists who were working on this piece, they looked at probably what you're making. It's solidly in the six figures, probably up around 200. So are you really a person who is experiencing a net loss from this? And this all sounds very convoluted, But this is apparently the closest they are going to come to be able to legally challenge this for now. Most people say that, like, it's possible that he could prevail, but really unlikely because of, like, the lengths he would have to go to really prove these damages. But the thing is, a federal judge could just, like, block the program for people that are specifically in his situation without, like, destroying the whole thing for everybody else. And also, the Biden administration, they didn't finalize the program when he filed his lawsuit. So based on, like, the version that he's suing off of, the White House has now amended it and said, we're actually having an opt-out option for people if you want to opt out of the relief, basically for people in this kind of situation. So now it's, his lawsuit is pretty meaningless, but they're like, oh God, we almost came close to stopping massive amounts of help for people.
So wait, let me just get this right. So I just want to make sure I'm actually clear. Mm-hmm, so he's upset because essentially by getting $20K of his, let's just say $300,000. So I'm making that up, sure, but law school is very expensive. So let's assume that, you know, he has $300K in debt. So he's upset because if $20K of it is forgiven, he will then owe $1,000 or $1,000 rather would be added to his taxable income. Mm-hmm. And this is why he's upset.
Yeah, because that's a net loss for him. Because I was going to have, I could have, the way it was going, I could have had the debt relieved. But since Joe Biden wanted to give me money and the Indiana tax laws are set up to basically punish people who are receiving student loan forgiveness, let's keep that in mind. That's the whole point of those similarly structured tax laws. That is why he's like, I am damaged. I am Glenn Close, and this is damages. Please.
So I have another question here to clarify some things here. I have just clarifying everything. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that after 10 years of working in this service, all of your student loan debt is cleared.
Yeah.
And at the end in of the that period. Interim 10-year period, it is capped. So you're still making loan payments, correct? It's just capped at a certain amount.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Based on your income. Cool.
Yeah. So in 4 years, his student loan debt is going to be wiped out. He still had 4 years left of capped payments to make.
Yeah.
So, okay. So 4 years left of student loan payments to make. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I have to imagine 4 years, if you're paying a yearly payment, that $1,000 he's talking about having lost, that means each over the next 4 years, he would only be paying 200 and...
No, Daniel, you're trying to make it logical.
$249 or something over each year for 4 years for that $1,000 to be a net loss.
You're just like Jack now with your logic here. The whole point isn't to make a sound argument. It's to just try and drum up enough outrage that this is happening. That's why for most people, like, because the White House is like, you could opt out. We get it. Like, that's a great program. And it's never intended to conflict with it. That's why a judge would probably, like they're saying, would be like, oh, well, then it just makes sense to have, like, to block the law for this specific group of people because it's the tax law is conflicting with this existing program. But
here's the thing. They're also not saying that you can't have both, right? You can qualify for the $20,000 forgiveness and also still qualify in your, you know, public service forgiveness program. So at the end of the day, like, if he had 300,000 and he went through with this 20,000 Biden, well, one, you still owe money. So maybe maybe be upset about that. I mean, because you still owe $280,000. Right, So
it's like, be one thing, it's like, well, it's 20,000 reduction, but a $21,000 tax on top of it. I'm at a net loss.
It's like, oh, but you still owe $280K. So look,
this is the lengths they're going, because if you like, what's wild is when this lawsuit was announced, like places like the Wall Street Journal were like celebrating. They were like, yes, finally, they found somebody who's going to stop this ridiculous handout. It's like, this isn't a fucking handout. Like, all you guys are reporting on this shit, like without genuinely or sincerely talking about how predatory the whole student loan scheme is right now that we run in this country. Like, that's the issue here, not the like, oh, wow, they're trying to help them out. But again, we shouldn't be surprised. To continue the freak out, John Fetterman.
Not there's more.
There's more.
There's always more. This is a daily show, and there's still always more.
There's so much coming up the pipeline, too. The FDA just changed, like, guidelines on what they could call healthy food, so I'm sure there's going to be something for that, too.
Oh, my God. Wait, what?
on John Fetterman.
Is tomato
right?
sauce back on the menu? Are we a vegetable again?
John, yeah, exactly. Ketchup is a health food. Oh, we call that a tomato smoothie. But we got to talk about the Crips, okay? Obviously. Okay. Because John Fetterman, who's a Senate candidate in Pennsylvania.
We got to talk about the Crips.
I don't know why he got all that flu on, but apparently we have seen this like uptick in all of this like outrage, manufactured outrage about him being affiliated with Crips. We talked about this earlier in the week. We talked about Newt Gingrich, who's like, and his, what about his affiliation with the Crips gang? The Crips. And we're like, what? This old white, like this fucking older, like middle-aged white guy who looks nothing like a real gang member? Huh? And I was like, where the fuck is this all coming from? We saw more takes. It wasn't just from Newt Gingrich. Another one was like, Democrat John Fetterman has a dangerous record on public safety and crime. Voters know he can't be trusted to keep Pennsylvania safe. Another one. This is like, then Dr. Oz retweeted this article with the text being, PA Democrat John Fetterman embraced spelling of Braddock that showed fidelity to notorious Crip gang.
What is that? Sorry. What does that mean?
So,
right? Braddock? I know. Really like,
I'm like, it'd be one thing if you saw him like, you know, throwing up sets like in a fucking picture and like, you know, he's flying colors and stuff. You're like, oh, wow. Like, look at him. Like, he's sea walking and he's, oh, okay. He's about it. But no, what is this all about? It's because of he used an alternate spelling of the town Braddock, which was the town he was mayor of in campaign materials. Rather than spelling it D-O-C-K, it was D-O-C-C. And that was and they're saying like that was coming from the gangs that were spelling it like that. And this is, he's explained this before. This is nothing new. But again, because this is manufactured outrage. This is an interview game gave like a while back when he was explaining how he's had two different spellings of Braddock. Quote, this is from John Fetterman. During my campaign, I used Vote John Mayor of Braddock with the two C's and Vote John Mayor of Braddock, O-C-K. The way it's traditionally spelled. And the reason why I did that is because there are two Braddocks. And you have to acknowledge that, Fetterman said in a 2015 interview. We have to acknowledge that there's the Braddock that only young people know, the Braddock of despair and decline, and they grew up in an area when they never knew there were 14 furniture stores and 3 movie theaters. So it's basically saying, like, I get, like, this is, it's colloquial. And then they said, like, he's got this sign in his house that has Crips on. It's like, it was like a town thing that somebody tagged. It's not to say, like, oh, yeah, man, when I started the fucking Crips, like, what? This
rings of somebody being, to be honest with you, I'm trying to think of an analog here, but I'm reaching too colloquial with stuff. I'd be like, this would be like somebody saying that they're like a fan of the Doyers instead of the Dodgers and being like, so they don't embrace the original name of the Dodgers or something like that.
Or being like, oh, he's an MS-13 because he wore a Doyers jersey. Like, what?
Literally any sort of racist outreach that they could possibly go for is just like so desperate and stupid when it's just like as if reaching out to a younger generation using colloquials. It's like I would almost be like, OK, it's almost like a little cringe to try and use some young kid talk to describe something for a political campaign. But really, they're saying like it's gang related is very
it's very 92. Reach.
It's very 92.
I was going to say both are true. Like the fact that he even said grew up in an era where they never knew there were 14 furniture stores and 3 movie theaters. Like, sir, what? That into your speech, please. Like, it's just the entire thing is cringe. And also, aren't they tired? Like, aren't human beings tired of being this way?
No, unfortunately,
I don't know. I mean, God.
That's the fucked up thing is that they're not like, tired of being this way.
Well. They're tired of being tired for sure.
Fair.
Like with these tired ass like attacks that don't make sense to anyone, especially in Pennsylvania. Like one of these journalists was pointing out, like in Philly, like this is a statewide, this is for Senate. It's not just for this region. Like the idea of a Crips or Bloods gang doesn't necessarily resonate in Philly because the gang culture is different. They don't have like Crips and Bloods in the same numbers like somewhere like LA might, where like you're like, oh, right, Crips or Bloods or whatever. So it's also just kind of like this weird thing again, where it's very like 92 type shit where people like, you know, I think most like white American conservatives, if you ask them to name a gang, they were like, I remember Crips versus Bloods. And so everything has to like fit into this like very rigid, overt dog whistly thing, which isn't just to say John Fetterman's dangerous, is that John Fetterman also, you know, he's out here consorting with the likes of black gang members or some shit like that, which is just, again, fucking put me to sleep with how fucking tired this attack is.
It's very old. It's so old.
Yeah.
It really, 90s is a really good way to put it, because I feel like, is that, I don't know, is that what even really worried about anymore?
He doesn't like, even look like the kinds of white dudes that are violence? In gangs. You know what I mean? Like, you see the odd white dude who's like down with the set. You're like, whoa. It's not John Fetterman.
I was about to say, honestly, too, though, to your point, Miles, like, the white people who know anything, well, I'm not going to say no. The white people who are mentioning the Bloods versus Crips likely don't even know what that means. Like, they're just saying it. Like, oh, yeah. Bloods versus Crips. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you're like, so tell me, what does that mean? Go ahead and break it down.
What does that mean? They're like, oh, I know who Stanley Tookie Williams is. He started the Crips. You're like, okay, well, you saw that FX film.
You saw that one movie.
Yeah, okay, with Jamie Foxx. Okay, we get it. We get it. What? No, I do know. It's ravaging the community. What community?
What community? Right.
When you're so invested in dismantling, it's like, you can't have it both ways. Like, no. So are gangs bad because of the chaos that it causes for people who live in those communities? Are you willing to help? No. It's just a talking point to try and, you know, make Dr. Oz not look like a total fucking mannequin of a candidate. Let's be real. I'm honestly, I'm curious what the next thing they're going to grasp at, because first they're like, they tried to say he was, you know, Dr. Oz was trying to say Fetterman's out of touch. It's like, bro, you don't even live in Pennsylvania. And then now it's like, he's a Crip. He's a gang member because he has tattoos. Really? They're going to say he looks too much like a bad guy from a Pixar movie. So you know he's bad. And it's like, what the fuck does that even mean? Vote for Dr. Oz.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Please never do that, guys.
No. No. I won't. I won't. I won't.
Well, I won't either.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about something that was that's actually cool. Coolio. Right after this. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang?
I know I do.
Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. Coolio passed away on Wednesday in Los Angeles, age of 59, I believe. I was like, when I heard it, I was like, oh, shit, Coolio, man. Like, I remember Coolio. Like, yeah, great memories. But like I was saying at the top of the show, when you saw tributes coming in from all over entertainment for Coolio, right. I was like, wait, you know what? As much as like, as good as his music was, I really failed to properly articulate in my own mind, like how important he was in terms of like the connective tissue that helped bridge the gap between rap and the mainstream. Because you just in a vacuum, right? In 1994, when his album, It Takes a Thief, comes out, this is the same year as like hip hop, like capital H hip hop. Illmatic came out in 94, Ready to Die, Southern Playlist, Cadillac Music from Outkast. Like, these are albums that, like, hip-hop heads, like, you know, were like, oh, yeah, I know these albums. But It Takes a Thief was really something special because even amongst all that, right, it had Fantastic Voyage on it, which was, like, our first introduction to Coolio. Come along and ride on a fantastic voyage.
With the classic sample.
Yeah. Okay, we all know that. We were all there doing our thing. Actually, no, that's 1, 2, 3, 4. But Fantastic Voyage was like a huge, huge track. I didn't realize in Australia, it was top of the charts for 37 weeks. In Canada, what? 17 weeks. In Germany, 91 weeks.
Yo.
Okay? In the Netherlands, the top 40, 31 weeks. Wow. New Zealand, 8 weeks. Sweden, 29 weeks.
Hell yeah.
UK dance music charts, 13 weeks. Like, that song was huge. It really was. And I think a lot of that, like, was the beginnings of, like, a really pervasive, like, hip-hop hit that was kind of accessible to many people. And I think it had a playfulness that made it danceable and easy to access. And then we get Gangsta's Paradise, okay? And that fucking cemented it. Like this, my mom even like was like, I like that song. That's like, man. Like she didn't know the words, but she could do LV's part. It's like, I'm like, yep, that's LV. We already know. One. And I think that was like another moment too, where we're seeing like something new. Like who else was doing a music video with Michelle Pfeiffer?
Good question.
You know, who was doing that? And like,
no one.
And I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, there in The Root, they're also talking about this, that this is maybe one of the first major Hollywood film soundtracks that had a rap song like leading it. Yeah. Like, you know, like that was the lead single off the soundtrack was that one. Now work your.
Yeah. And I'd say probably also just that wasn't like categorized as a black film. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, because Gangster's Paradise wasn't, I mean, obviously it had Michelle Pfeiffer and it's the original Cool Rider OG, but you know, it wasn't a black film, you know? So I think that actually is probably true. Yeah. And the single was wild.
Right. Like I know Bobby Brown had some on Ghostbusters and things like that, but it didn't necessarily get to the point where we're like, that shit is a fucking phenomenon.
Yeah.
And again, the fucking charts like speak for themselves with Gangster's Paradise. It's like, first of all, I didn't even realize that Antoine Fuqua directed that video. Really? Director of Training Day. Yeah. F. Gary Gray, the director of Friday, and also Fate of the Furious and many other things straight out of Compton. He directed Fantastic Voyage.
Wow.
But yeah, like the Gangster's Paradise thing, the charts were also absurd. The amount of time this thing was at the top of the charts, like even bigger than fucking Fantastic Voyage could have been. Mm. And the story, right? There's like a really interesting story about the sample, right? It's the Stevie Wonder track where he was trying to get that sample cleared, and that was already like a big struggle to even get that sample cleared. And this is a little anecdote from Coolio about it. Quote, but the thing was, we still had to get Stevie to sign off on it. when Stevie heard it, he was like, no, no way. I'm not letting my song be used in some gangster song. So that was a problem. And it just so happened that my wife, she knew Stevie's brother. I guess he had been trying to tap that for years, and he's laughing. She made a call to him, got a meeting with Stevie, and talked him into it. His only stipulation was that I had to take the curse words out. I had two places where I had the N-word in it and two places where it was like, fucked in the ass or something like that. Mm-mm. And Stevie said that if I take that out, he would sign off on it. Unbeknownst to me, the other condition was that he wanted 95% of the publishing. Had I known that, I'm not sure I would have went ahead with that. But I don't know. Maybe I would have. So that's how we ended up clearing it.
95%? Yeah. Like, yo.
I get it. You know, like, he's like, come on, man. That's all on me. Like, you, the melody, come on. I get LV's doing his thing. But that is pretty wild. Anyway, so I think of it, too. Like, for most millennials, Coolio's songs were like, nailed on to be played at a school dance. Mm-hmm. Like it was it was like the hip hop song the teachers were comfortable with. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, Coolio, the one who's like got the wacky hair. We like him. Sure. So it's just like interesting. I feel like he has this very specific place that I think we don't really speak about, like how really where that is and kind of the evolution of the mainstreaming of hip hop. Obviously, there's people like Will Smith and many others, but like Gangsta's Paradise. I was just with like some like people I went to elementary school with a while back, and every single person, no matter, you know, what their background, could spit the whole fucking song with their eyes closed.
100%. I mean, also speaking to your point about the mainstream, Coolio, you know, one of the little additions that I added here, specifically for my childhood and a lot of people's childhood, he was the voice of the Keenan and Kel theme song. And it's an important show to our childhood. Just like, and you know, you go back and listen to it and it's like, I sung this every single day, every Saturday night that I was right, watching my Keenan and Kel, getting my snick on. That was the best. Oh. And having that kind of place in like the mind of someone's childhood is just so everlasting and permanent. And it's like, I would say like a kind of underrated part of Coolio's career as well, in that, like, you know, it's not Gangster's Paradise, but it is something that got spin after spin after spin through syndication, through VHS tapes, through people just running back Keenan and Kel all the time. Like, what an iconic show and a truly, truly iconic theme.
Yeah, I think the three of them, I mean, to be honest, when I think about kind of Black artists that are cemented, to your point, Miles, like in our minds as millennials, it definitely is Coolio. I couldn't go anywhere without listening to it. It was one of the few rap artists that my mom would let me listen to.
Right.
You know, because it was always kind of one of those things where it's like, I don't know how much cursing is in this and what are they talking about? But Coolio was acceptable because, to your point, like if the teachers were playing it, then, you know, she was like, well, okay, I guess. Right. And to your point, Daniel, Keenan and Kel, like, I mean, the Black version of Nickelodeon was the only one I truly remember, you know, we could do anything on the network. Right. And they had all of the stars and all of the things and tons of other artists, too, that came on. I was like, who ran Nickelodeon during that time? Because honestly, we should bring that back.
Someone very cool. Someone very cool.
I like that you have in your, Daniel, that you added this thing about Weird Al, like his beef with Weird Al.
Yes, oh, the beef with Weird Al.
Doing Amish Paradise.
I just love this because, you know, so this is a quote from a 2014 Vice article. And I think 2014, you know, feels like, I think in the lexicon, feels like not that long ago. But even 8 years ago, admitting you were wrong was still a tough thing to do. And I think it's still a sign of intense maturity and wisdom. But even 8 years ago, people still wanted to act tough a lot of the time. But Coolio's response to this question about the Weird Al beef, I think, is just so mature and wise and speaks to a mindset that I think we're still chasing to this day, that I think everybody should be able to sit down and do. And it's not, and I think when people do, it's lauded, but so often people will avoid it. I'm just going to read this quote kind of quickly, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
When I asked people what I should ask Coolio, the most common question I got, the thing most people want to know, do you still have beef with Weird Al? And Coolio responds, fuck no, man. I let that go so long ago. Let me say this. I apologized to Weird Al a long time ago, and I was wrong. Y'all remember that. Everybody out there who reads this shit, real men and real people should be able to admit when they're wrong, and I was wrong, bro. come on, who the fuck am I, bro? He did parodies of Michael Jackson. He did parodies of all kinds of people. And I took offense of it because I was being cocky and shit and being stupid. And I was wrong. And I should have embraced that shit and went with it. It's like,
yeah,
it's just so mature and being like, man, that was really dumb. I was wrong. And I apologized and like squashed immediately. It's just right. That's such
I'm
a
glad
great
he
stance.
Got there. I'm glad he got there because honestly, I remember this beef, although it was obviously way before, you know, the internet took over our lives.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I remember thinking during the entire time, I'm like, well, Weird Al makes fun of everyone, literally everyone.
Yeah.
So it was not like it wasn't like he was singling him out. I was like, Weird Al just makes fun of every single human being who is an artist that made it. I kind of looked at it as like, dang, like Coolio, you made it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a rite of passage.
Making this parody. Right. So I'm glad he eventually got there, but it would have been, I wonder how different it would have been if he would have embraced it kind of during that time and just been like, to his point, because he goes on later to say in this interview that he was kind of upset with his management for not, you know, like kind of stepping in at the time and pulling him to the side and being like, why are you so upset by this? It's just a parody.
Yeah. Right.
And like, you know, pumping the brakes on it. But I don't know. I feel him. Like, y'all should have. Yeah. You should have just been like, you know what? I'm going to embrace this because maybe it'll get my actual song more rotation.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, it just shows, again, like, ego is the fucking worst thing to have for your longevity because you can never be objective enough about your own work. You can never be objective about much if you're constantly ruled by, like, am I popping? And that's the only thing that matters. It's like, what, like, rather than, you know, focusing on your craft or just, again, like, noticing that here's another wave you could catch with the popularity of a song you made, and rather than being like that, be like, man, fuck you. And it's also a weird look. Like nobody needs beef with Weird Al. He's like the nicest fucking guy. It's not like he's 50 Cent or something. Like I'm coming for Weird Al, and that's going to get them motherfuckers. No,
like, Weird Al just minds his business and makes his parodies. Like, truly, completely. That is it.
Like, exactly. 100%. Exactly. But yeah, I think it's important. And again, I feel like, you know, it's like people like Coolio help give us, like, you know, Ludacris and shit. Like, Ludacris, I felt was another artist too, who had that thing of like, I'm having fun with like the music I'm making. Like, some of my lyrics are, you know, like they might veer into some street shit, but for the most part, I'm trying to have fun. And I think that sort of, that helps a lot. But anyway, rest in peace to Coolio.
R.I.P.
And
Coolio.
Lastly, I just wanted to ask y'all, I just saw this listicle, I think on like Digital Trends, where this guy, Joe Allen, was just sort of like writing about the best movies to second screen. Mm. And, you know, we're talking about second screen and we're talking about, you know, most of the time back in the day when you sat down, there was one fucking screen and that was the TV or the film screen you were looking at to enjoy a television show or movie. And now with, you know, little iPads, laptops, and things like that, we increasingly like begin to multitask while watching movies and talk about a second screen experience. I find myself doing this a lot more than actually just one screening it. And first off, I'm curious for the two of you, how often are you doing second screen watching, or are you old school and give everything your attention? KB, I wonder if because you're having to actually critique things, it probably benefits you to have all your attention on something.
Yeah, I cannot. If I'm watching something specifically for like a review or an interview, I absolutely cannot second screen. Like, I do not have the focus or the capacity. Like, I have to sit there, I have to pay attention. I can't be doing anything else. Otherwise, I'm going to fail miserably.
Right.
But if I'm going to second screen anything, what I found, and especially like during COVID, during the lockdown, it was always something that I found comforting, whatever that was, whatever I was watching, it was comforting. And I, you know, would be able to, you know, do laundry while having it going, or fold laundry, or, you know, like clean up or do something. But it was always like a title that was comforting. Like, I can second screen, this sounds terrible, but I can second screen Selena, right? So I know that movie like the back of my hand. So I can, you know, happily kind of do those things. But I would say, for the first screening, if I have to do it for work, I absolutely cannot. I can't.
Right,
do it.
Right, right.
I tried. Everyone I know, honestly, a lot of critics I know, they do it. You know, they're like, oh no, I'm always doing something else while it's on.
Yeah.
And I just don't. I don't have the mental capacity. I don't think.
Sure.
So,
what about you, Dan?
I have a definitely a different kind of second screen relationship. I am a big surprise here, big gamer.
big player of video games. So I have a monitor right here that I'm looking at, and a monitor right here, and I will often have Twitch on.
I know you I do right now, and I will ask you to turn that off, bro, because you're recording.
I don't know what you're recording. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway,
Twitch from Liquid is killing.
Twitch is a Twitch is a big one, just because it's kind of like the engagement times are really short. You know what I mean? It's like you're watching someone play a game. Like maybe they pop off and get a cool play every, like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes or something like that. But the rest of it is kind of just general interaction with chat or whatever. It doesn't really, it's not really that important. It's like, you know, you ever heard with cereal, they'll call like with Lucky Charms, you got the marshmallows and the rest of it's called like the wood. It's like when it comes to Twitch, it's a lot of wood. And then you get some marshmallows in there every once in a while. So it allows to kind of like eat it little piece by piece every just in kind of like short spurts. So that's my main kind of second screen television. But if it's not that, it's a comfort show, similar to how Kay is saying with something like Great British Bake Off. Because like
that's a good one.
I love the Bake Off, but I also know that, you know, once you know what the baking challenge is going to be, there's about 20 minutes of someone accidentally cracking an egg wrong, or being like, my creme pat isn't setting properly, or something where it's like, I don't need to hear you say the same thing over and over again. Let's get to the review so I can hear Paul Hollywood say this is stodgy. That's what I'm here for.
Well, Dano, I have a question. Like, when you are on Twitch and you're doing second screen, can you tell me what's happening on both? Like, if someone were to come up to you and ask you,
like, what's
going on in the show that you're watching, or what's going on Twitch right now? Could you tell me?
Yeah, I think so. Well, because most of the time with Twitch, so for example, I'm going to give you a second screen example for today. I'm going to be editing a lot of podcasts today, and we're probably going to talk about this on Trends later. But the World Championships of League of Legends are about to start. It's about to enter the play-ins, where there's going to be games all day long. And while I may not be able to tell you moment to moment exactly what play is happening, I'll be able to say, oh, yeah, this is the play-in stage of Worlds, and Fnatic is playing Detonation Focus Me in the first round of the play-ins, and this is an important one. And so it's like, while I might not be able to tell you exactly moment to moment, the context of what's going on is really what I'm trying to gather, and I'll check over and be like, oh, that was a cool play. All right, edit.
What's going on there?
Oh, that's something's happening. Oh, they won the game. Sick. Hell yeah. Okay, next game.
The wood to marshmallow ratio, I think, is a good idea. That's actually what a prime second screen show gives you, where you can, like, when the wood parts are happening, you know it's wooden.
Yeah.
And then when the marshmallows come up, you know it's a marshmallow and it's time to shift focus. That's why, like, I'll watch trash reality, like my Real Housewives and shit. That's a lot of wood in between. And then they start popping off and you're like, here's my marshmallows.
Now, Miles, do you watch Salt Lake City?
I'm about to start season two. I watched season one. I'm behind on my Real Housewives. And I know, look, Anna, super producer Anna, is always like, did you watch Jen run from the feds yet? I'm like, no, I haven't gotten there yet. But I would love to see it. Love to see it. But yes, it's on the docket.
Listen. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay, actually, it's Marshmallow City or what?
Real Housewives. Real Housewives is actually kind of perfect second screening. Now that you mentioned, I'm like, always. Like,
that's what it's
I
easy.
Accidentally watched Beverly Hills and I was like, wait, what's happening?
Yeah, exactly.
Accidentally watched it. I love that.
You do the Below Deck, all that stuff. It's easy. But yeah, like some of the articles that this writer at Digital Trends was saying, it's just like stuff like Terminator 2. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Anchorman. I'm like, sure. Like those are, but I think what is all being said is like, shit, you know, just down pat. So it doesn't matter. Like, you're just like, oh yeah, here's the part where the raptors are in the kitchen hunting the kids and shit in Jurassic Park. Well, KB, thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people find you and follow you, and more importantly, hear you if they are so interested? And I'm telling you, you should be.
Thanks so much for having me. This was such a blast. But listen, you can find me on social media, Instagram and Twitter only, though. Like, I am not on Facebook. The Lady KB, TheLadyKayb. And you can listen to On Call with KB starting October 6th. So every Thursday, it'll be dropping weekly. Season one is about Grey's Anatomy, as I mentioned before. Right. So join us for, you know, some Grey's talk. And you can listen to it anywhere that you get your podcasts. So, you know, Pandora, Spotify, the iHeart app, Apple Podcasts, wherever. Yeah. So, yeah.
Man, yeah, Grey's is wild. I don't, I only watch it in drips and drabs because my partner, Her Majesty, is watching it currently. And I'm always like, wait, why did the hospital, why is it called Gray Sloan now? What happened? Oh, anyway, there's a lot
going on. So many deaths.
I didn't know they were military doctors, that some were military. I didn't even know that about the show. Yes. I didn't know that. Man, there's just so much going on. You know,
there's a lot.
I didn't know Debbie Allen was Jesse's mom in it. It's like, what is going on?
It's so much is happening. And Miles, you know, maybe you should be glad that they switched the character from Miles to Meredith, because Meredith is quite literally the character that's had the most tragedy on any TV show, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
I think, like, that she has had the hardest life of any character.
How come the season finale is you know it's going to be fucked up?
You just know. Because Shonda created it that way. I think that she, you know, she was like, let me give y'all drama. Y'all said y'all want drama, so I'm going to give you drama.
And I'm so ignorant. I'm like, I was doing the Leonardo DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood meme where he's like pointing at the fucking TV from his couch. I'm like, that's Che Diaz. and then she's like, yeah, that's what she like that she blew up on this show. I'm like, I don't know shit. Okay, I didn't know.
Check
that out. And what is a tweet or some other sort of social media post that you've been liking lately, KB?
Yeah, you know, a tweet that I just recently liked is the one that said, you know, me sending my friends encouraging messages even though my life is a hot mess too. That pretty much sums it up, you know. Yeah. Life is lifing currently. Yeah,
seriously.
And I'm still sending my friends, you know, like all the encouraging messages, like, yes, girl, you got this.
You got this.
Keep climbing. You know, meanwhile, I'm in bed.
But, Try and find the wisdom. Try and find the wisdom in it. You know what I mean? There's wisdom in everything, but look for it. Don't run away from it.
Have to find it. So, you know, meanwhile, I'm like, ooh, my life is lifing. But you know what? There will always be something positive on the other side. Just have to get
message.
To it.
Exactly. Daniel, thank you so much for kicking it with me the last couple of days. Where can people find you and follow you? And what's a social post you've been liking?
Oh, geez. You can find me all over the internet at DJ_DANL. Since today is Friday, you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/DJ_DANL. I'll be there playing Ghost of Tsushima as part of Daniel's backlog, where I go through all of the single player games that I haven't finished and finish them.
You didn't, why are you not going to ask me to? You doing Ghost of Tsushima? Wow. You're not getting your Balkanese friend on that?
There's nobody. It's just me in the game.
But hop on it, baby. Because you know I don't put the dub on. You know I got that straight Japanese, no subtitles, baby, in Kurosawa mode.
Damn, you are going to be upset at how I'm playing it.
The dub don't you better not be dubbing.
Anyway, we're moving on. So my tweet that I like is from L was a mistake at unintention L. Date. So you like cooking? Me. Yeah, I make a mean bruschetta. Bruschetta. What up, little bitch boy?
I make a mean one. Oh, man.
Make a mean bruschetta.
Let's see. Some tweets I like from New York Times PitchBot at Doug J. Balloon. They always do fake New York Times headlines. This one is, opinion. I was a lifelong liberal Democrat. Then I saw a baby give money to a drag queen. And now I'm a Nazi. Which feels about right. Another one, Travis View at Travis_View tweeted, my top issues this election are simple. Women's collegiate swimming, the race of fantasy characters, and historical flutes. Because it seems like a lot of people have all their opinions wrapped up in that nonsense. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me and Jack on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, our weekly basketball podcast. You can find me on 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra, where guess what? We smoking that loud and talking 90 Day Fiance. The only way you can talk about that. However, you can also find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We got a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Daniel?
Footnotes?
Wow. Caught you lacking, bro. Wow.
I was literally looking at the notes. You're right.
Real Friday kind of vibes from
it is Friday kind of vibes. You're right. I slipped on that one.
Where we link off to all the articles we talk about, as well as the song we're going to ride out on. And we are going to ride out on this group, Los Kenya, which has a TV called Records NTV. And they are basically, from what I'm understanding, like a... It's from an album that I believe is called Siempre Afro Latino. And this is a Venezuelan, like, kind of 60s salsa fusion group. It's dope. Okay. You're going to like this. This is like just this about the, like, this is a group this guy formed. And I really should have to say less. This is just good weekend vibes for you to take into the weekend. All right. So until Monday, we'll be back to tell you what's trending later today, but then we'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend. Peace and blessings. And yeah, check out the Daily Zeitgeist wherever you get your podcasts for free. That could be the iHeartRadio app or wherever that is. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.